Anyway, so we're going to get into lesson two of our quarter today, which is we're going to begin in the first. We're in the first chapter of James, chapter one, and we're only going to cover today the first 18 verses, and then we will finish chapter one next week. You can find that in your outline. All right, very good. I don't trust that the slides are in the right place. All right, so let's take a quick look through this. All right, and so if you recall, for those of you that were here last week, our theme for this whole quarter is holistic Christianity. And that's, by defining that, really means a faith that perfects and completes a whole person, right? The faith that leaves nothing untouched. That is, and that we're going to stick to that throughout this quarter. So we're going to get into chapter one today, and then I want to start off with reading the first, I'm going to break this into sections. So we're going to read the first four verses, and then we'll discuss that, and we'll move section by section. So does somebody want to read the first four verses for me? Go ahead, Dave. Thank you. I really want to focus on a couple of thoughts here. One is that in starting off in James, he jumps right into trials. Consider it all joy that when you encounter various trials. And I think it's also important to say that he says when you encounter various trials, not if you encounter various trials. We are going to encounter trials in our life. As a Christian, we're going to face difficult things. It's not a if. And I think it's our road map to maturity. That's the goal of developing our faith to maturity. And it's not going to work if you're looking for a detour around hard things that come in your life. So I want you to kind of keep that thought in your mind that, maturity and growth comes through facing it head on, right? And it's not that it is going to be hard, but so we're going to talk about why you would consider that joyful in a little bit. Then also in verse 4, it says, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And that's our goal, right? That's our goal, is to reach that level of maturity in our faith. And think of that as our kind of our anchor for the whole quarter, is that, we're achieving, that's our goal, to achieve that level of maturity in our faith. If the goal is to be made complete, consider what might be an area in your life that you are struggling with, maybe now, or something you dealt with years ago in the past. What was the approach? Were you afraid? Were you scared? Were you looking for a detour, a way to get around that problem in your life. There's really kind of a, perhaps maybe three ways you can deal with this, right? When anytime that you face some kind of encounter, some kind of trial in your life, right? It's going to be either you're going to face it and grow from it, you're going to try to escape it or navigate around it, right? Or you're going to try to bury your head in the sand and pretend it's not a real problem. And I've tried all of those, and probably most of you have too. You could probably think about things in your past, in your life, where, you know, you struggled with a problem and you may have tried to just ignore it first. You may have then said, okay, well, I'm going to get tough. I'm going to grit and bear it. I'm going to get through it. Or you may have decided to, I'm going to pray about it. And that's where we're going to go with this lesson, is that when we encounter these trials, we need to pray about it. That should be our go-to, right? All right, so I think I'm already slipping behind on my slides here. All right, so I think I've already mentioned this. The trials are guaranteed. And if you look at my definition of a hardship there, it says temptation, doubt, persecution. So they come in various different categories, right? There are hardships that we kind of know we created ourselves. Sometimes we put ourselves in a situation where we shouldn't have been. We go someplace we shouldn't have gone. And we allow ourselves to fall into temptation, right? Sometimes we didn't think about it before we decided to do something. And now we're having to face the consequences. That's one kind of hardship, right? Another kind of hardship you might encounter would be something that just came up suddenly. You didn't do anything specifically. Something just happened. And you've got to face it, right? And so, but a lot of the ones that we have brought on ourselves were avoidable, right? And those are mostly the temptation ones, right? Those are the kind of hardships that are what we would call a temptation. We put ourselves in a place where that temptation was going to be a problem. All right, so now I want to ask a question. This is kind of a discussion type question. How does enduring through a trial make us stronger? Any thoughts? It's testing your faith, but the testing causes what? You're going to grow, right? If you face it, if you acknowledge this is a trial, if you acknowledge that this is from God, He's challenging me to face it and grow, to mature, or we try to avoid it, right? We try to work our way around it. We try to ignore it, right? So I would say a trial is an opportunity. When we encounter these trials, it's an opportunity for proof of God's power and faithfulness. Yeah. Right. And that's the growing of maturity, right? That's that when we see that we have succeeded, accomplished that. We, you know, overcame this difficulty, struggle. We do increase our confidence. We increase our maturity in our faith, right? All right, so here's the key for the lesson is that these trials are guaranteed. We're going to face them. They're going to come. And this is what James is saying. Pray about it. That's your first option. You know, because it's not a, I'm going to grit this out, I'm going to white knuckle it, I'm going to get through this. You don't have to face it that way. Yes. Right. Yeah, I want to talk on that point a little bit more a little later. We'll get to that in a minute, but that's great. Thanks for bringing that out. All right, so God has given us this promise that when we endure through this, and I know I think endurance, there's different words used there, right? Trustworthy, I've forgotten that. Yeah, long suffering, endurance, those are kind of all different words that really mean the same thing though. But we are prepared for an extended battle, right? And we have to be prepared for that. It's not going to just pray about it; it goes away. That doesn't work that way, right? All right, so yeah, here let me go ahead and get to that, because if you look in verse, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, but in verse 5, it says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given to him. Then there's a but. Look at verse 6. It says, there's a condition, right? There's a condition that says, he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So if you think about asking God for wisdom and expecting a certain outcome, right? You're going to, I asked for this, I'm going to get this outcome. And I think that's the wrong approach, right? You should ask knowing that God is good, knowing that God will answer you, maybe not in the outcome you think you want, but he'll answer you in an outcome that is good for you at this point in time in your life. And you can trust that. That is the answer you're going to get. And it may not be that, you know, because I worked it through in my mind and this is the outcome I expect to get, right? But it doesn't always work that way, right? Let me add one other thing here. Wisdom is from God, and it's for the asking. But it's not like a checklist, a roadmap. You know, it's not like we have some decision-making template cut out for us. The wisdom from God is a gift, but it's skills. It's the skills to apply that wisdom to what we're facing, right? But like I said, it's not a. I asked for this, I got this. It doesn't work that way, right? Yeah. Right. Right, right. Any other thoughts, comments? If I forget to ask, and you have thoughts, comments you want to share, interrupt me. So, asking in faith. What does that mean for you? Does it mean, or what it does not mean to me anyway, is that means that I've mustered up enough confidence about a certain outcome that I want, and now I'm going to tell God what I want. I'm going to demand it from God. I want this wisdom so I can get this outcome. All right? And so I guess I keep harping on that, but that's not how what asking in faith means, right? So if you're asking like it's a demand, it's a request, I need this. That's not what it is. It's lead me to what I need to grow, learn from this and grow from this. Yeah, confidence that it's going to be answered in a way that may not be what you were thinking, but you will get the answer. Yeah. Exactly. Where I think I had a reference here. I think it's in Proverbs 1:7. If you look at Proverbs 1:7, it starts with the fear of the Lord. What do they mean by fear of the Lord? What's that? Right. Right, right. Go ahead. Right. That's how I see it too. Fear is respect. Respect that he does love you and you can trust that. And the fear, though, is fully respecting how he can support you, help you through whatever you're facing. But the trust is a real key there, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true.
Basically, what that all stems from is no way. It's courage, it's faith that sets prayer.
Right, okay. I like that. Any other thoughts? All right, now, this next slide, trials versus temptations. You notice from the previous slide I showed, temptation was one type of trial, wasn't it? Now we're showing it here as in a contrast, trial versus temptation. And we want to identify what is a distinction here. Because a temptation is a trial, but it's a certain kind of trial. And now we want to separate out, where do you see that? Because Now, I had to look this up. I know nothing about Greek. But in Greek, it's the same word, trial and temptation. It's the same Greek word. And so I think what James is trying to point out here is that how do we handle it, right? You can start at the same place, and we can let our desires lead us down into sin and temptation, or we can, starting at that same place, pray for wisdom, pray for help, pray for guidance. But you can go two different paths, right? It's up to you to choose that, right? Any thoughts on that? Then if you look down in verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. So, share your thoughts on that. Okay, my thought is this. A trial is a hardship sent by God to help us grow, to allow us an opportunity to grow. And we can choose it. A temptation is something that came from within, that I saw something, I wanted it, I wanted to participate in it, and I let myself fall into it. In fact, let me go back and mention that. Back in verse 2, it says, consider it all joy. In the ESV, I think, it says, when you meet various trials. The New American Standard, I think, says, when you encounter various trials. But the King James Version says, when you fall into it. So, there's really, you know, I just, that distinction maybe isn't all that important, but it does help me think about it differently. Whether I'm going to fall into something because I didn't prepare ahead of time, but I am going to meet it, I am going to encounter it, right? Either one of those words really means it's coming, right? But in temptation is the enticement to sin. It's not the sin. It's the enticement to sin. What do we do with it, right? But that temptation is drawn out of our own desire. That's out of our own heart. It's not that God puts that on us. He's not tempting us, right? And that's what, back in verse 13, don't say that God tempted me. It's not God that tempted you. It's your own heart. Right. Right. In fact, you could go all the way back to Genesis, Garden of Eden, right? The temptation is God lied to you. God's not really caring about your best interest. He's hiding stuff from you, good things in life. You could have those. But God's, punishing you somehow or withholding from you, right? And yet that goes throughout our entire life, right? All the sin that we face, that we encounter, that we fall into, is because we let us believe that lie for even a minute, right? That God doesn't really want what's best for me. He's just withholding something from me. So I guess I could say it this way. God allows tests, but he is never the author of evil. The same illness that drives one believer to God drives another to bitterness. So how you handle it, right? Whether you're going to, it's going to drive you closer to God, or it's going to drive you away from God. Yeah, Dave. Right. Yeah. Very good. Thanks. All right. So, yeah, I think I already pointed this out, but in the verse, or back on slide 3, I said, you know, temptation was one type of hardship, and in verse slide 5, it was contrasting, right? But oh wow, okay. I wasn't watching my time carefully. All right, so verse 14. Why are people tempted to do evil? Anybody got a thought on that? Right. We trust in our own reasoning, our own abilities, and what is it? Proverbs tells us, you know, the fool despises wisdom, right? That wisdom is how we deal with this, right? It's our own desires, and our own desires without consulting God's advice and asking for that wisdom to deal with us in a better way, right? All right, so let me, I want to get down to let me jump ahead here because I'm running out of time. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, okay? No evil comes from God. From him. No evil is desired by him. He's not setting you up to fail. And that's the lie I mentioned earlier about even back in the Garden of Eden. God is holding out on you. God does not really love you. God set you up to fail. When we accept that lie, because it sounds good, it's not my fault. God set me up. Then we're in serious trouble, right? I wanted to mention one more thing because I know we're almost out of time, but if you look in verse, I think I skipped over it in my... I think I had a note here about if you look at... let me see if I can get there. Well, let me get a couple more comments in. Look at verse 12. This reads like a beatitude, right? Blessed is a man who... For he has what? Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That reads just like, you know, Matthew 5, right? It's a beatitude, right? The other thing I wanted to bring out was, and I've scrolled past it in my notes, can't even find it right now, but in, I think it's in Romans chapter 5, Paul writes about endurance produces confidence, confidence, hope. Right? I don't have the verse right here in front of me, but James is really saying the same thing, isn't he? Paul is giving us the why, because you get to the end of the chain, right? You get to the end of the chain, and it's the hope that you gives us confidence. You know, through our confidence, we get to the hope. James is saying, count it all joy, because you're going to get there. You're going to get to the end of that chain. I think I'm going to just hold off on some other thoughts I had since we're out of time, until next week. So maybe we could we'll close there. Let's go ahead and close there for today, since we're out of time. But I want to I have a few more thoughts about this first section. Next week we'll finish the chapter. So read ahead, look at that, check out the. Finish the chapter for our study next week. Thanks a lot.